Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are meditating on the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer somehow presents the sum total of the teaching of Jesus. It tells us who God is and what our relation to Him is, and teaches also the content of the kingdom of God. We have seen the address, Our Father in heaven. And we have started analyzing the petitions. 7 petitions in the Gospel of Matthew. 3 concerning God and His kingdom and His will. And 4 petitions concerning the daily needs of human beings. The first petition is, Let thy name be made holy. Hallowed be thy name. And we started seeing the meaning of the name. God did not reveal His name to the fathers, to Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. He revealed Himself as the Almighty One. But it was to Moses in the context of the liberation from Egypt. When Moses was sent out as the liberator to confront the Pharaoh with the word of God, it was in this context that God revealed His name as Yahweh, as I Am. And this name was never addressed, never uttered by a human being because of the great awe they felt towards God. And this awe, respect, the religious fear was there, so they never spoke about God dwelling on earth. The temple is presented not as the house of God, but as the house where the name of God was made to dwell. And this we see in the book of Deuteronomy. When you cross over the Jordan and live in the land of the Lord, your God is allotting to you, and when He gives you rest from your enemies all around so that you live in safety, then you shall bring everything that I command you to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for His name. Your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your donations, and all your choice votive gifts that you vow to the Lord. Here, mark the word, the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for His name. In fact, it's the dwelling of God. But the way they present it is the dwelling of the name. That's a synonym with God. So by this expression, they safeguard the transcendence of God, at the same time, the nearness of God. So the name of God is God Himself. So the prayer we are addressing for the first petition, Hallowed be thy name. Meaning, your holiness should be kept sacred, should be made manifest. Is it possible that the holiness of God becomes somehow tarnished, diminished? Not in itself. The holiness of God means God is the other. He is totally the other. In Himself, God cannot become less. But in relation, how He is known, how His greatness, how His holiness is known through the people, through the people called by His name, it can be different. That's what we see in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, It's not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I'll sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when through you I display my holiness before their eyes. So God is asked to display His holiness through us. When we are taught to pray, Hallowed be thy name, Father, let thy name be made holy. We are made to pray. Father, let your holiness become manifest in us and through us. Parents would say to children, let the name of the family be not blemished, be not tarnished by your dealings. Keep the dignity of the family, keep the name of the family. If the children do something wrong, it is the parents who are being blamed. So the daughter or son of such and such a person has done this. So the other way, if a dignified action of a person brings dignity and honor to all the family members, especially to the parents. Now Jesus is teaching us to pray that the holiness of the Father should be manifested through our lives. Two things are meant. First of all, we should behave in such a way, we should live in such a way that through us, God's holiness should become manifest. That He is the Father, He is the one who protects the orphans and widows and who loves everybody, who is the Father of all human beings. So this holiness, this glory, love of God should be manifested through us. So our life should be in such a way. Second, we should not do anything that will bring discredit, dishonor to the holiness of the name. Let thy name be made holy. So as in Ezekiel, God is asked to manifest His holiness through the lives of the individuals. God manifested His holiness through creation, His power and His might. God manifested His holiness when He led the Israelite slaves out of slavery in Egypt and brought them to freedom. Whenever He brings freedom to the oppressed, whenever He brings justice to the exploited, there the holiness of God is being manifested. So this is what Jesus is asking. First of all, take care of the name of God. Behave in such a way, live in such a way that is proper to the name of God. That you do justice to the name you bear. You are the children. The second petition, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Kingdom is something that is no more quite familiar to us. King and kingdom is something past. Now we have republics, nations. And in the time of Jesus and till the recent past, there were kings and kingdoms. Jesus is asking us to pray that the kingdom of God may become a reality. Let thy kingdom come. It's not automatically coming. Send your kingdom, establish your kingdom here on earth. Let thy kingdom come. Here, we have to ask, what is this kingdom? And what does it mean that He is asking us to pray for the coming of the kingdom? Kingdom is rather the kingship of God. It's not a particular territory. It's not like the United Kingdom or any other worldly kingdom. It's not the kingdom of Solomon or David. It's not the kingdom of an emperor. It is more the kingship of God becomes manifest. Manifest yourself as the king. Let your kingship, your reign become a reality. So asking for the coming of the kingdom is asking for the realization of God's rule over this world. You take charge. Now somebody else is in charge of this world. The powers of evil are in charge. Father, you take charge of the kingdom. You take charge of this world. Let your reign, your rule become manifest. And this is what the prophet was telling Isaiah in chapter 52, verse 7. Isaiah is the prophet, the second Isaiah, I mean, chapters 40 to 55. The second Isaiah is the prophet sent to the people in exile, Babylonian exile. And there this prophet is sent to proclaim the imminent liberation. imminent return to the land. And here the prophet is asked to announce in chapter 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. That is the good news. Jerusalem is presented as a weeping widow who is weeping over the death of her children. Jerusalem has lost her children, and now these children are coming back. Those who were dispersed in exile in the foreign lands are all coming back, and God is bringing them back. That is how the second Isaiah starts. Chapter 40, verses 1 and following. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. And then is presented as the Lord is coming. In verse 10, see, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. So God is coming as the victor with the liberated captives. So is the rule of God becomes manifest. Behold, your God reigns. And now Jesus is asking us to pray for the coming of the kingdom of God, or the reign of God becomes manifest in this world. So it is not so much a territory than the rule of God. And the rule of God is being manifest, is made manifest in the values. Where God rules, the values of the kingdom will be established, the value of justice. So God's rule is qualified by justice. Everybody will be given due respect and whatever is due to him. The kingdom of God is qualified by the value of fraternity, brotherhood. We are told that we are all brothers and sisters, and God is the Father. When God rules, every human being will be considered not as aliens, not as slaves, but as brothers and sisters, fraternity. The kingdom of God brings freedom, freedom from all bondage, political bondage and economic bondage, and above all, bondage from fear, slavery to fear, and ultimately slavery to sin and death. Whatever be the forces that keeps people slaves will be vanquished. A total victory, a total freedom, freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety, freedom from hatred, freedom from sin, and ultimately freedom from death. So where God rules, there will be no slavery. So Jesus is asking us to pray that this kingdom be made manifest. So the kingdom of justice, kingdom of freedom, kingdom of brotherhood, and ultimately it is a kingdom of love. Where God rules, love is supreme. God is love, and his kingdom is qualified by this love. Now, how can we, Jesus say that we should pray for the kingdom? Because he has already said the kingdom of God is here. His very first sermon was, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has arrived. It is here at hand. And then he was asking to repent and to believe in the kingdom. So there are various ways of presenting the kingdom. Jesus says the kingdom is already present in his action, where he casts out demons, where he heals the sick, where he forgives the sinners, where he raises the dead to life. There, the kingdom of God is present. But it only initially present. It has not been totally manifested. It has entered this world through Jesus Christ. And in his preaching, this kingdom becomes manifest and becomes a reality in his miraculous activity. But this has yet to be completely realized. The kingdom is here already, but not yet completely. We know that God has taken over the rule of the world. But still the powers of evil are ruling in the world in many quarters. All the humans have been not totally liberated. There is the powers of evil still very much active and alive in this world. So Jesus is asking that we pray for the coming of the kingdom of God. And what is this kingdom? The kingdom is where God's will is being established. That's the second. The third petition, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will should become a reality on this earth. First of all, in my heart, I should submit my will to the will of the Father, as Jesus, the man, submitted his will to the divine will of his Father. So in my prayer, I am asked to surrender my will to his will. Let your will be done, first of all in my heart. And let your will be done all in all the hearts. When every human being and every human will bends to the will of the Father, then the kingdom would become a reality. And that's what Jesus is asking for, the coming of the kingdom, where God's will be totally realized. And what is God's will? God's will is that we be happy, that we all become and remain children of God, loving the Father, loving each other, and being happy, nothing else. That we should be saved, that we should live, that we should overcome death, that we should overcome sin, that we should stop hating each other, that we should start loving and live in love. So this is the will of the Father. We be happy children of God, loving each other and loving the Father. And in this love, the kingdom of God will become a reality. Unfortunately, though, we know that there is hatred all over the world. Hatred seems more powerful than love. And death sometimes seems more powerful than life. And it is in this context we are asked to pray. Asked to pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Even though my personal will is rebelling against God's will, enable us to surrender ourselves to your will. So this is the first part of the prayer, that God's name be made holy, that his holiness become manifest, that we live a life that is worthy of God's name. And we pray that God's kingdom of love and justice, of freedom and brotherhood, become a reality in this earth. That this kingdom spread all over the world, that hatred stops, that people do not hate each other, that all sorts of terrorism, all sorts of war and exploitation, domination of one or the other, all slavery stop and we become free children of God. And that is the will of God, that we be happy. In the letter to the Romans, chapter 14, verse 17, Paul gives a rather short definition of the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, a life according to the will of the Father, and peace with each other, peace with God, shalom, and joy in the Holy Spirit that transforms the persons from earthly pleasures, brings the real joy that is everlasting. So for this joy, for this kingdom, Jesus is asking us to pray. It has already started with him. It is growing in us, in the world, and it will be totally established, totally manifested at the end of the ages. Now we conclude with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, enable us to surrender ourselves totally to your will. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.